And it's in the context of to be untempered in your nature and to be foolish. And in verse 30, where he says there, I saw for a man among them that should make up the hedge. That word make up, it means to close, to wall in, and particularly in the context as a mason would repair a wall. And so it's just an interesting little analogy here, because a lot of this is in context to the work of a mason. And so here we have the prophets. There's a gap in the nation of Israel, and they're trying to fill that. And even religion today tries to fill man's spiritual need with things other than truth. And they were trying to fill this gap, to close the hedge with slime, with untemperedness. And I thought that, that's kind of a side note, but I thought that was interesting how those words and that thought plays together. But back to the point, God is seeking. And the man that God sought for was a man that would stand in the hedge and make up the gap. That word sought there, and I sought for man, means to seek, to find, to seek, to secure, to desire, to demand, to require, to request. And I want us to think about that as we think about God seeking for something. And we even started this lesson off asking, is there anything that God cannot find? And we're talking here in the context of God sought for man. God's request, what God desired, was for man. And we often don't think about what God's desire is, or what God requests, or what God is seeking for. But in this particular verse, there was something that God desired that he could not find. And surely, as we think about God seeking, surely we're not mistaken to assume that God is still searching for such men today. We know it is true. We know that there is a shortage of laborers in God's work. It was true in Ezekiel's day. If you turn over to Luke chapter 10, we see that it was true during Christ's earthly ministry. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2. The context is the Lord appointing the 70 to send them out, and he says unto them in verse 2, he says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we see in the day of Ezekiel that God was seeking for a man. We see that even during Christ's earthly ministry that God sought for laborers. And so if it was true in Ezekiel's day, and if it was true during Christ's earthly ministry, then surely we're not mistaken to assume that God is still searching for men today. And as we see that God was seeking here, for what was God seeking? Well, the verse very simply tells us that God sought for a man. He does not give any qualifications here for what he was looking for, other than a man. This would seem to indicate that one willing-bodied person could have made the difference. And it does not say here that he sought for a man of valor or a mighty warrior. It does not say that he sought for a man of great countenance. In fact, we know that God told Samuel when he went to choose the next king of Israel, he said, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, for I have refused him." It doesn't say here that God sought for a true prophet or for a preacher, but it simply says here that God sought for a man, a willing-bodied man, a man willing to stand. And I'm afraid sometimes that we maybe not intentionally, but that we let cultural Christianity seep into our mindset. And what is cultural Christianity? Well, the simple definition is religion that superficially identifies itself as Christian, but does not truly adhere to the faith. And I'm afraid sometimes we let this mindset of cultural Christianity seep into our way of thinking, where we feel if God has not called us to full-time ministry, that it's not our responsibility to work in the harvest in a very direct way. Or it's not our responsibility to stand in the gap for those in our community or for those in our workplace, or for those in our sphere of influence. And we give ourselves a pass because I don't feel the direct call of God on my life or perhaps the ministry, then this doesn't apply to me. But the context here indicates that God simply sought for a man. And this concept could be farther from the truth. We know this if we look even over at the first church there in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Here in Acts chapter 8, the church there in Jerusalem, the first church, they didn't have other churches to compare themselves to. The first church there, under persecution, we see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." We see here that the members of the church there in Jerusalem saw it as their duty, as they were even scattered through persecution, to be active in preaching the word. And surely these people are the same people that when the gospel came to Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, surely these are among some of the same people who was spoken of and said, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also." God is looking for a man. And very likely, in your sphere of influence, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your realm of acquaintances, even in your own home, in my own home, there are some gaps that only you can stand in. That only you, that word to make up there in verse 30 means to wall off, to build up, to shut off, as a mason would shut off a wall. And very likely in your life there's some gaps that are there that only you can stand in. And that word stand there in verse 30, to make up the hedge and stand, that word stand there means to appear on the scene, to be present, to be intentional, and to take one stand and to present oneself. It's interesting here, the context of this is to present oneself as before a king. And God was looking for a man that would stand in the gap, in this case for the nation of Israel, that would stand in the gap for him, that would stand before the king, God, for the land. And so God is looking for a man. Pastor Tom Smith commented on this passage when he said, as God looks for a man, for what kind of person is God seeking? God is not looking for people with a particular level of education or intelligence, because God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Nor is his search limited to certain personality types or physical appearance, because God does not look on the outward appearance. He is looking for men and women who are sincere and available. He is looking for those who are humble and dependent on him. God is seeking people of earnest and believing prayer. One of the most important things we can do to make up the hedge is intercede. He's looking for those who love the Lord more than they love the world and seek his approval more than the applause of men. It would seem that there would be an abundance of such men and women, but obviously, that is not so. May we heartily respond to this need by giving ourselves completely to God and to his will. And so God, even today, is looking for a man to stand. What should be the motivation for standing in the gap? Why should we stand in the gap? And if we do stand in the gap, why should it be me? And what should our motive be to stand in the gap? And I could surmise what some of our answers to that question would be. And the typical answer would be something to the effect of, well, because these people of the land have a great need. These people need help. And we see that in the context. We see in verse 24, thou art the land that is not cleansed. That it's a land of indignation. In verse 25, the prophets are roaring lions, ravening the prey. In verse 25, they have taken the treasure. They have made widows in the midst thereof. The religion of the day, in verse 26, had no difference between the holy and the profane. The princes are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy. We see here the people are being taken advantage of. The prophets are devising lies unto them. People are being lied to. In verse 29, we see the people of the land have used oppression. People are being oppressed. In verse 29, they've exercised robbery. They've vexed the people. And we could surely look at the condition of the people and we could say, these people need help. And surely the motivation to stand in the gap should come from the need of the people. And we have to help them. They need God so their lives can be made better. And a lot of time, that's also our way of thinking, where we see a situation or we see those in need, and if our heart goes out to them, sometimes it goes out to them because of their need. And that's not wrong, But should that be the motivation for standing in the gap? And this is just another challenge to the way we think about things. And while these things that we just mentioned are not wrong motives for standing in the gap, these reasons of needing or desiring to people's lives be made better, and that being the motivation for why we should reach out, are actually humanistic reasons. Humanism, as defined, is an outlook of thought attaching prime importance to the human. Humanistic beliefs stress the potential, value, and goodness of human beings, emphasizing common human needs. And we can look at this passage and we can see that there's some human needs here. And while desiring to meet people's human needs is not altogether bad, should that be the primary focus for outreach? Should that be the primary focus for standing in the gap to better mankind? And certainly, all of us here today would say that our lives, since we've been saved, are better, but not always in the physical sense. I mean, there's all kinds of scriptures. The Bible does not promise prosperity in this life. 2 Timothy 3:12 tells us, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." John 15:18-20 tells us, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also." 1 Thessalonians 3:4 tells us, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know." 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And so while it's not bad to see man's physical need or even to see the hardship that he's in and to know that God could improve that situation, that shouldn't be the motive for why we stand in the gap. If our primary purpose and motivation for standing in the gap isn't for the betterment of mankind, then what is it for? Well, verse 30 says, "And I thought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." If you remember, that word "sought" means to seek, to find, to seek, to secure, to desire, to demand, to require, to request. This is being spoken in relationship to our God. Let's just let this sink in for a minute. God, who we started off talking about as being the omniscient God, the all-knowing, He encompasses all knowledge of the universe, past, present, and future. God, the omniscient God, who the psalmist wrote in Psalms 147 and said, "He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." God, the omniscient one, is requesting something for which He could not find. God, the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one. Revelation 19:6 says, And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God, the omnipotent one, sought, and perhaps even today is seeking, for something he could not find. God, the omnipresent one, the all-present one, present everywhere at the same time, who the psalmist in Psalms 1 and 39 wrote and said, Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. God, the omnipresent one, sought for something he could not find. God, who has need of nothing. The psalmist tells us in Psalms 50, he says, For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. God, who has need of nothing, sought for something he could not find. God had to seek. God desired something for which he could not find. And I don't fully understand this, but because God has created us with a free will, we have the ability to withhold something for which God is seeking. And brothers and sisters, our desire, our motivation to stand in the gap should be out of a deep desire to provide our Savior with the one thing he cannot find without the surrender of my will to his. And while we should be able to look on the multitudes and see their needs and even see some of the physical needs that come through reaping the lifestyle of being lost, our motivation, our primary motivation, should not be to better their life. Although, when I consider my motives sometimes, you look at somebody's condition, you say, boy, they really need God in their life because their life's a mess. And that thinking is not totally faulty, but the primary motive ought to be so that God can be glorified and so that we can provide God with the thing for which he is searching. And you have the ability, and I have the ability, to withhold from God something that he desires. And so as God comes in your home, in your workplace, in your social world, in your sphere of influence, will he find you standing in the gap for those around you? or the question that lies in my heart, and I leave with you, is will he find you standing in the gap, or will it be said, I found none? And let it not be said of us here at Plaquemine Baptist Church that God sought for somebody to stand in the gap and he could not find him. Let's pray here. Father God, we bow before you here as we close this lesson. And God, I just pray that we might be honest with you. The Father, in my life, that I might examine my own heart. And Father, as you tug on my heartstrings, and Father, even this matter of standing in the gap is even sometimes a daily, day by day, crucifying the flesh and surrendering to you. Father, may we be sensitive to the gaps in our lives, the hedges that you would desire that we make up. And Father, may it not be said of us that you could find none. And God, we desire that you could use us. Father, we desire that we would be sensitive day by day to the Spirit of God in our life. And God, we desire that you could get glory and that you could find the thing for which you seek within our own lives. And we ask these things in your name, Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you would just keep Pastor Dimlow in your prayers. He's going to be preaching tomorrow morning. And then I believe that Soraya's appointment is on the 26th, so that's tomorrow. And with the time change, that I don't know what time it's scheduled for, but with the time change, that day, third day is just about getting ready to start. So keep that in your thoughts as you even go to bed tonight, and we'll anxiously wait to see how God works. All right, you're dismissed.